Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
CNBC's Big January continues with the JPM Healthcare Conference, the Amex Golf Tournament, Inauguration Day, and the World Economic Forum in Davos. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I don't think Michael's ever done drugs.
It's Mike Shope.
I don't know if anyone's ever offered him any.
Let's go over some of the symptoms of marijuana use, shall we? You tell me who this sounds like.
It's the Bulldog.
Slow moving. Inattentive. Dull. Constantly snacking. Shows a lack of motivation.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Happy New Year. We're both here. Let's go.
What do you know?
Look who's back. Do you feel well rested?
No. No, I feel terrible.
That's the thing about the break.
Holidays. I feel disgusting.
Oh, well.
Physically I'm broken down, and mentally I don't know what the hell's going on. I'm some version of that. You know that is a meme. I think it's a meme around the holidays, like it's a little stick person, like, yeah, December 1st through the 24th, yay Christmas. December 25th through, like, you know, January 1st. What day is it? I'm full of cheese. I'm lethargic. Like, that's me.
I don't know this one.
I walked in here today, and I know you texted me, Joe Estrada, you know, what's the rundown? Let's set up Paul. I'm Paul's handler. You handle sales. I text Paul. I know it's Thursday. We got Joe Ostrowski. I walk in here, and I see our old friend Brad Ryder's name on the board from Tuesday.
Yep.
And I thought, Mike didn't tell me we're talking to Brad today. That was literally the first thing I thought.
Mixed up on the days.
And I went in and got my headphones. I'm processing this. Well, that'll be cool to talk to Brad. And then I got in here and went, okay, yeah, no, it's Thursday. Wow. That's tough. Like, I kind of liked
having Christmas and New Year's be on Wednesdays because I was working. I liked the break in the middle.
Sure, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, the 3-day weekends are good too, but I liked the break in the middle.
Yeah. But I don't know. I'm confused, and I need to ramp up. It took me until right as the Open was playing to notice the reverse AFC power rankings from Tuesday.
New sheet.
Which I, at some point, not to flatter myself, had some intention of calling you on Tuesday saying that if you want me for that, I can do that. And then I don't know, I fell asleep.
Jeremy did it.
Good. Okay. I'm glad someone was. But I was thinking, if I'm going to do it, I think I'm going to have to say KC's back to being at the bottom.
I think that's what we did.
Yeah, that's what I noticed there. Yes, and I agree. I don't feel like I missed an opportunity. I've been more impressed with them the two standalone games they played while I've been away, basically, right? Then they play Christmas Day, and then again or before that
Saturday.
On Saturday, right? I just feel like they're starting to look a little more like Kansas City to me.
Well, and I actually do not mean this sarcastically, interested as I am in talking about the Pro Bowl, the question for you is, and this has been what I have spent most of the last 2 weeks, I guess, of course, you know, fixating on, is how it ended up. I mean, it's over. KC won, Buffalo 2. We know that. We don't know Baltimore 3 yet for sure, but they are a 19-point favorite now against Cleveland on Saturday. Implied score 30-11. So
I like their chances.
How? Me too. How bad is that for the Bills? Like, you never, we never got that one more Kansas City loss to make even this week interesting, because they couldn't wait to sit guys for this game, and then Denver went up to a double-digit favorite itself, needing the win, but it never came. It never came. So now it's, I do think there's a, you know, of course you're going to have opinions. There are better results, I think, for matchups in the coming playoff games here for the Bills than others. But if you don't get an upset involving the Ravens between now and next weekend, including next weekend, then the Bills are going to have to beat the Ravens and the Chiefs, maybe.
Right.
Like, that's how it ended up.
Yeah. The one thought I had that maybe is a little different than how I know I was talking before I had this break, and that might be different from like how you've been talking about it while I've been gone, is that, you know, of course, the benefit of getting the bye is not having to play that extra game. And, like, that's huge. And I guess I haven't really thought about it from the perspective of Kansas City, therefore, having to play the extra game, right? Like, they look, I'm fine with them being at the top, bottom, for whatever. They're one.
Let's just go with the standings for now.
They're one. They're the one. I'm fine with their standing in the reverse AFC power rankings, but I feel less like they look like a team that's going to lose their first playoff game than they did a month ago to me. But still, if you ever had that thought, even a few weeks ago, them having to play an extra game was like the thing. And it's obvious, like, if you don't have to play it, then they do. But I don't think I ever really thought about them having to play an extra game. And because they've been cutting up until very recently, most of their games were just so close that playing even the seven seed in a wild card game, that could be a chance for them to trip. It's a chance for anybody to trip. It's a chance for the Bills to trip, whether it's Denver, Miami, or Cincinnati. But I don't think I gave that enough credit in my head for like how it would feel for them having to play an extra game, not just me get the benefit, the Bills get the benefit of not having to play that game and expose themselves to injury or an upset. So that kind of, that bums me out.
I think it's a massive advantage.
Yes.
They get this week to lay down whatever it is. The only question I have asked both Eric Wood and Ross Tucker this week, like, is it maybe too long of a break? 25 days, give or take, will be between Christmas and that game for Kansas City. And like I said on Tuesday, I think you kind of have to land at, we won't know until we see it. It's really more just results based.
Yeah, it's like it's like college teams often have done it in where they're done playing in November and then they play a bowl game today or something.
But whoever they're playing in that divisional round game at Arrowhead will not have had 25 days between meaningful games. They'll have had seven. Whoever it is, Denver, and I think there's one team I mentioned before. I think there's one, again, very much subjective, entirely subjective. One combination of outcomes that if I were the Chiefs, I would want to have not happen. I would rather, if I'm Kansas City, the team that I do not want to see in the first round is LA. I've only ever had close games with them. They know me so well. And I think they're a little dangerous. I don't think Pittsburgh is dangerous. I don't think Denver is dangerous. It could be the Bengals. I'm not taking too seriously the possibility of it being the Bengals with their needing Denver to lose. And
Miami.
I don't think it's Miami. Like, I think the one, it could end up, it could conceivably be Baltimore, but Baltimore would have to lose to Cleveland or else they're not going to Kansas City that first weekend. No scenario. The one team that could is the Chargers. And that would be my least favorite idea if I were the Chiefs. I just said it. Close games. They've lost to them. You know, I just don't think anybody else is on the same level. I would not feel the same way about the Chargers for the Bills because of the point about how often they've met. Yeah. So you could get that. And if I'm right, then that kind of gets exciting. But I could be wrong. Otherwise, what happens that is a threat to Kansas City in that first round? I mean, it's not a bye.
No.
Having to play the Texans again or the Steelers or the Broncos, whatever. It's not a bye, but I think they'll be a touchdown favorite against anybody else. Maybe the Chargers too, with the advantage of the rest and their history, home field. And that's all that we have between that's in between now and the Chiefs hosting the AFC Championship game. Like, we're that far along now. We're there one win away against one of those teams from hosting the AFC Championship game.
Right.
That's how close we are to the end.
Right. And that's where the Bills would be in that spot, and we'd be talking about all of that. And it is. This is going to sound, it's probably been said since they changed the format here, and the Bills have been a contender really ever since the format changed. But the one team getting that advantage just does not seem right still. And I think I would feel that way if the Bills had been getting the one all this time and everybody else was scrambling, like the Bills had been all these years here, 5 years in a row. We're sort of like, you know, that's the prize. Tough luck. Just kicking the teeth again. I think only one team getting that advantage on each side is really tough. It seems like too much of an advantage for one team to have.
Think about the Bills season and how much has gone right. What is it? They have one game in like their last nine or so where they haven't scored 30 points.
Right.
New England.
Mm-hmm.
They've won 13 and lost 3. They beat Kansas City. They clubbed San Francisco. They beat Detroit. I mean, how much better could you have imagined? How much better would you ever have the right to imagine any season going than this Bills season
right.
is gone?
And if they needed this game on Sunday, you could end the season 14-3 and still not get a bye, and that seems absurd to me.
Well, the Vikings and the Lions will.
Right. One of them is
same thing.
Is going to be there too. That's right.
So there is that, but that is really tough here. Maybe the Bills are good enough. We'll find out that they can do this anyway. Somebody, Baltimore, Kansas City, Detroit, whatever it is. Like they might be good enough to do it anyway. But damn, like all of this happening this year like it did, and they still have that disadvantage against Kansas City. Kansas City didn't even have to play this week, right? Like even if in a couple of years ago when we were out watching them play the Broncos, they still had to win it, or the Raiders, whatever it was, maybe both over the years.
Yeah.
They still had to win it. They still had to win the last game. They could not sit their guys for that game, and okay, then they win the bye 2 years ago anyway. This happened, I believe, and they get home. Like you just could not have asked the Bills for more than what they gave you, and it's still short. But so the Broncos, big favorites against the Chiefs, fine.
Sure.
Denver?
Yeah.
Fine?
Yeah. Yeah, you like potential opponent?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look, anybody can hurt you. You know, it's football, but I have a hard time seeing. They're very strong defensively, I think, I believe.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I just have a hard time seeing them put the Bills, like hold the Bills down enough for their offense to make it much of a game. I just don't think they have enough there. I think it's promising. I think it can grow. But I feel like they're still like on the first chapter of offense there with Knicks right now. So I don't expect them to be able to keep up, even if I'm not having a great day against a good defense. I mean, I think that team has a tough time getting to 20 against me, is what I think. And if I can't beat Denver, you know, if I'm holding them to under 20 points, then I should be home anyway.
I wonder if the Bills would be favored by more than 7. Does 7 seem high or low or right on? You're the guy on this. 7 and 45 would be 25.5, 18.5, I think. Does that feel about right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think a touchdown is about right. I could try to be, you know, particular here and go for 6 or 5.5. 7 I think is reasonable. I think it'll be within a point of that.
7 would be tempting to take for an underdog.
Yes.
But 6 would make it tempting to bet the favorite. So, ahead of ourselves, admittedly, there is a game Sunday. I'm not going.
That's too bad.
Just bagged it. Nobody wants this.
Nobody wants to travel to Foxborough to see a game that doesn't matter.
Not even my friend in Foxborough is up for going to the game in Foxborough. He doesn't want any part of it.
Wow.
So there goes that.
Tough times in Foxborough.
It'll have to wait. It'll have to be another time. Fine, though. I'm sure I'll do many important things around the house.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sure that's what'll happen. Tony is with us. Hello, Tony.
What's going on, guy? You know, I didn't really set out for this, but is this first caller to the show of 2025? Is that what's happening here?
I actually came in last night and took calls. Otherwise, you would be.
Oh, my God. I wish I would have known.
You weren't listening?
I wish I would have known. No, I wasn't, believe it or not. Guys, you know, without being a Debbie Downer here, all right, when the Bills clinched the division as early as they did, I was very excited at the prospects of how things might fall for us. That was the first step in, you know, getting a little good fortune, you know, this January, you know, for us to be where we haven't been. And that first step was how the seeds fell and the potential opponents fell. And I'll tell you, I sat down for dinner on Christmas evening, and it didn't take away from dinner with the family or anything like that, but I remember just sitting down and coming to the realization, wherever that second game of the day was at that point,
Ravens,
son of a gun, this is going to end up having to beat Baltimore at home and then going to KC. It was like just the one thing that I didn't want to see happen when all those potential scenarios were going through my head. And this doesn't even bring in, you know, the potential for Cincinnati, which I do think still is slim. But, man, when it became a realization that we were going to have to go through Lamar here and Mahomes there, I was sick about it, man. I was like, this is not how I needed to see this break. And, hey, maybe it won't matter. We'll certainly hold out hope that, and I do think at times the Bills have been the best team in the AFC this year, until KC maybe started to find it a little bit with good health. But, man, having to do that on back-to-back weeks, my glass got a whole lot less full, man.
Yeah.
Happy New Year, though, fellas.
Happy New Year, Tony. I hear you. It feels, you know, like we're talking here almost this whole first segment, like as tough a draw as you could have got. You know, at least you're at home for 2 weeks, but man, it's tough. We'll see what they get. I mean, if it falls, I mean, what's the percentage chance that the Bengals make it here?
5.
They need Miami to lose and
Denver.
And Denver, and they have to beat Pittsburgh. So, I mean, I don't like their chances either, but holy cow, imagine if that happened on top of it all. Like, because that is still, to me, that has not changed. Like, to me, that is my least desirous opponent for the wild card round is the Bengals. I'm glad that they have such a slim chance of making it, because I don't want to deal with them at all.
Well, here is a possibility, though, and maybe even a decent one. The Ravens could lose. They do not engender the kind of confidence by their history of a team that's any sort of a lock in the playoffs. They're not even the Bills in this way. I mean, the Bills have won these first round games every time, sometimes handily. It's how your brain works. It's sort of like it's easier to imagine the Ravens tripping up. What if they get Pittsburgh? Which they will if they win and then the Steelers lose to Cincinnati and the Chargers win their game against Vegas. Baltimore-Pittsburgh is the 3-6. How does that smell? If Lamar Jackson himself gets psyched out by the playoff history, by the Steelers, there's both.
Right.
And they'll be favored. Everybody will expect them to win. Pittsburgh is terrible. They'll have, again, lost this game to the Bengals. It's a big losing streak going in. Talking about this the last week or so, I mean, I think it was Jeremy who joined for the power rankings on Tuesday mentioned like the Steelers wanting to avoid the Ravens. Like, I don't know, man. Mike Tomlin in his office with his feet up. Let's go.
Yeah.
Right? They have just not. This last game they did lose, but there was some fumble luck in that game for the Ravens. And I don't know. Like, that would save you. And if that happens, maybe it's the Chargers. The Chargers won a playoff game in Baltimore themselves when Jackson was the first year starting.
The first of their stubbing their toes with Jackson as their QB.
So that they're going to play
one
of those two teams, maybe even definitely, in that first game if they win against the Browns. And I think that's a losable game. Either one of those teams, I think, would have a chance against Baltimore. And if that happens, then the Bills are playing like one of the Chargers or the Texans in the second round. Okay.
Right.
Then how does it look?
That's a very different thing.
Very different.
Yeah. Yeah. Because Baltimore also, like, these teams, you know, you gotta like watch all year, and you gotta pay attention all year, because the Ravens, I think, like halfway through the year, was like, well, you can get them on offense, like you can get their pass defense especially, and I feel like, you know, they've been on in standalones enough here in the last few weeks. I don't know, I can't remember now exactly because I'm full of cheese and not exactly sure what day it is still, but they're doing something different with Kyle Hamilton and their pass defense, like the splits on their pass defense, like past week 9. Are just very different than they were early in the season. And so that, you know, there's that. If you need something else to worry about, even the thing you might have thought, you know, around Thanksgiving, well, I'll have that on them. Like, sure, they can run it on me, but they might not be able to handle my passing game if it's really humming. Well, they're doing a much better job of that, I think, in the back half of the season.
To that point, the Ravens got 9 players to the Pro Bowl team. 4 on defense, like that has been for much of the season. The story is like, but their defense is bad. The Ravens got 4 defensive players to the Pro Bowl, which is more than the entire AFC East at any position. I think that's incredible that a division could end up with only 3 guys on the Pro Bowl team. Bills 2.
Right.
Allen Dawkins. New England has a special teamer named Brendan Schooler.
Okay.
The Dolphins and the Jets got shut out.
Yeah.
Is that crazy? I mean, maybe it's not wrong. If it's wrong, like, we're a couple more of these Bills guys. But still, like, yeah. Baltimore has more defensive players on the Pro Bowl team than all 4 AFC East teams have at any position put together. This, I do think, I make fun of the Pro Bowl like anybody, right? But I do think the fact that there are 2 Bills and 9 Ravens might be worth a discussion, right? I mean, to all the MVP people,
it definitely doesn't hurt Allen's candidacy for the MVP at all.
You just won.
It should. If he needed help getting across the finish line, which, you know, maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. I don't know. I don't know how much the voters are paying attention to the arguing that's going on between Ravens and Bills fans and maybe even Eagles fans. I don't know. But yeah, that's stark to me. Like, 9 guys, like, what are we doing here?
Crazy.
You got a lot more help, a lot more notoriety, a lot more whatever, a lot more popular players, supposedly good players that should be synonymous. You made the Pro Bowl, but not always. So yeah, I think that should just nail that shut for Allen. I hope, I guess. I don't know.
Zay Flowers made the Pro Bowl. No, he's fine.
Sure.
Sure. Yeah. The Bills did not have a wide receiver to outrank Zay Flowers, I think. I think Cook had a case. I mean, Cook could have come in over Mixon, but he didn't.
Right.
I mean, the Bills are a pretty famous operation, and they've been good for a long time. It's the players, the coaches, and the fans who vote for the Pro Bowl. 2 guys? Also, apparently, Deion Dawkins says that Allen called him.
Yes.
That's a phone call?
I guess, yeah.
And then have a conversation about how this, the job isn't done? Like. That's a phone call?
I'm assuming that it was an actual call, right? I mean, he would have said he texted me. He called.
I'd make that distinction.
Yeah, I would too. Yeah, right. That's what I'm saying. So yeah, I think it's a call. And yeah, I mean, your buddy I don't know the permutations contractually, but it's very possible Deion Dawkins made, you know, I don't know, $250,000 today when he got named to the Pro Bowl. And so, like, that's a call. I think one of your coworkers gets a $250,000
bonus. If he did,
whatever. Even if it's $100,000, whatever. I'm assuming it's something. But I don't know that. But that's worth a call.
Joe Ostrowski coming up. BetQL Daily will talk to Paul Hamilton next hour on the Sabres, who play in Denver tonight, and then Sal Capaccio later. Also the Fresh Picks. Don't want to skip right over that. But then Sal will join us at 5 to talk injuries and set up here for this weekend. Thanks for being with us. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Happy New Year. This is WGR.